From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it's a great joy to share this hour with you as we are so blessed to be able to come together every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to share in the joy of our faith, the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm so happy that you're here today on this beautiful, beautiful April 23rd. Glorious day out here in our area of part of New Jersey. So I hope it is just as beautiful wherever you are listening and or watching, because we are coming to you on our YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And thanking you for being a part of my day. Today, I'm going to share with you some of our Holy Father's teachings, actually a teaching from Sunday, his Regina Caeli, where he talked about Christ the Good Shepherd. Of course, Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday. Holy Father said that the Good Shepherd looks for us until he finds us. We're not lost. So, and also, coming up on the 27th of this month, the Holy Father is going to meet with grandparents and their grandchildren in Rome on April 27th. I want to share some of that little message with you as well. And then I want to go back to, I think I'm kind of making this a little bit of a series now on Tuesdays from In Conversation with God during this beautiful Easter season and the Acts of the Apostles. Today's reflection by Father Fernandez on the first Christians. So we'll hear that teaching there as well. But first we're going to pray, my friends, and as always, I do invite you to join me in praying, and we're praying this beautiful Parents' Deliverance Prayer, because we know that the family is under horrible attack, marriage is under attack, Satan hates both, can't stand it. And as Sister Lucia said, the final battle will be over marriage and the family. And we're seeing that happen right before our eyes right now. I mean, it's been, the old boy, the enemy used to hide under rocks, but he doesn't do that anymore. He's right out there in the open. In fact, well, let's pray first. There's a couple things. I don't want to get off track here. So I invite you, my friends, wherever you are, to join me in praying this prayer. It can be found on the CatholicExorcism.org website. If you go to CatholicExorcism.org and in your menu from the homepage there, select deliverance prayers for lay people. These are deliverance prayers that lay people can pray. And this particular one is a parent's deliverance prayer. And as Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who's an American exorcist, states and says and teaches that spouses have divine authority, of course, over their own bodies, each other, their spouse, as well as their minor children. So we have the authority to cast out evil from ourselves, our spouse, and our minor children. When it comes to our adult children, and we know our adult children, adult Catholic children, need a lot of prayer because so many of them have left the church. We get those prayers all the time from parents. Please pray for my adult children who have left the church. We call upon the power and invoke the authority in casting out demons by our Heavenly Father, who obviously can do that by our Lord. So let's pray and just raise up all of your special intentions, whatever they are. Please pray for us here at Domestic Church Media, the apostolate. We always need your prayers. Cheryl and I ask for special prayers for, oh my goodness, an intention we've been praying for a few years now. The Lord is just asking us to wait. So let's begin, my friends, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you have given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and cast them out. And for my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, again, we raise up those special intentions for which we are praying right now. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from our faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family and the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And we pray our prayers to St. Michael and to Our Lady, as Holy Father asked us to pray, to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that, to those prayers, to protect our families, all of our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God, and not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, I thank you, my friends, for joining me today, and thanking you for your prayers and all of your support for the work we do here. It is so important these days to have a Catholic voice in the media, not just the radio. You know, as I said, we're on YouTube, YouTube.com/domesticchurchmedia, or on Facebook, Facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia, where people can watch this program right now. And beyond our four domestic church media radio stations here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, we're streaming audio from our website at domesticchurchmedia.org. We're streaming both audio and video on our free mobile app for your phone or tablet. So I hope you download the free Domestic Church Media app for your phone or tablet, because you can listen 24/7 from your phone or tablet using our app. You can also watch from our app if we're coming to you on YouTube, as we are right now. And, of course, we do utilize the home speaker devices, the Amazon Echo and the Google Home devices, which literally bring us around the world. And people have downloaded our app almost 3,000 times on every continent except Antarctica, and in some countries where Christianity is so repressed. So we have good Christians who have downloaded the Domestic Church Media app to listen to these broadcasts in secret and in hiding. So by your prayers and your support, you're letting us do all this. And I want to keep this apostolate growing, my friends. I want to reach as many people as possible through what we do here, through, of course, our affiliation with EWTN, but also our local programs that we bring to you. This program, Friday Live, the Bishop's Program, Come to the Throne with Bruce, and others, Better Together with Emily and Jen, and just a wonderful opportunity for us to get the word out. So please keep praying for us. Please, in whatever way you can, keep supporting us financially, because we can't do without you. We do need you. Because we need this voice. You know, if you just look around and you see the dark activity in the world today. I was reading an article recently. I couldn't name one Taylor Swift song if you ask me. I don't really know her music. I don't know. I know she's obviously very popular. She's very popular with tweens, with young girls, and has been since she herself came on the music scene a number of years ago, as just out of her teens, I guess. Now she's in her early 30s, but she has a big, big following, obviously. I mean, she fills stadiums and concert halls. And I read that she is now financially classified as a billionaire. That's how much money this woman has made. But she apparently released an album last week, her newest album, that they say is very dark. Some of the songs contain lyrics, curse words as lyrics. It deals with death. Some of the songs deal with just the dark side of life, evil. And some of the parents, they all should be, but many parents now are up in arms because, as I said, a lot of her followers and a lot of the people who buy her work and listen to her work are young girls influenced by her. And it just shows you how the devil works. I don't know this woman's, you know, lifestyle, life. I don't know anything other than you see every now and then pictures of her with some football player that she's dating. I don't really follow that stuff. But this caught my eye because I just think it exemplifies the battle and what the tools the devil will use. I don't know what this woman's religious background is. I don't know. I have read some things that stated that she's kind of leaning toward the dark side in many areas of her work, as this album makes a point of. I was reading, not reading it, it was a video. I saw an actual video of Bob Dylan, who's still around. I didn't know Bob, God forgive me, but I thought we lost Bob Dylan, but he's still around. I don't think he's doing music anymore. But the interviewer asked how has he been so prolific after all these years? I mean, he's been around for over 60 years. And he says in this video, I saw it, that he gave himself to the prince of this world. Some of these, I don't know, you know, we see the influence that these people have had over generations now. And then this is, again, the newest one is this Taylor Swift thing, which is very disturbing. But you know what also disturbed me is they say that the material in her new album, again, curse words, it deals with sex, death, darkness, you know. But I was reading an interview, as I said, many mothers are up in arms. Some of these mothers, though, say, well, it's not, I don't really mind the curse words. My child will hear the curse words out in the schoolyard. That doesn't bother me. It's the sex and the darkness and the other evil stuff. But you know, that's my mother would have washed my mouth out with soap if she ever heard me say a dirty word. Actually, one time she was told by a neighbor that I did say a bad word, but when we were playing baseball, I guess out of frustration, I dropped one, and a neighbor called my mother. I didn't even know it. When I got home from our little sandlot baseball game, my mother started chasing me around the kitchen table with a dish towel, whacking me for a word I said. Anyway, just be aware of stuff like that. This is why we need the church in the media, because the battle is real. And people need a choice. You know, when you're listening to the radio, when you're watching YouTube, when you're using your home speakers devices, the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, or your free mobile apps to look for something to listen to or watch, we need to present the gospel to people, the truth. And so for me, that's just, it just shows you how, as I said, in the old days, you know, even when we began our work 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, for me personally, almost 30 years ago, the devil was more surreptitious, you know, he was more in hiding. Now he's out there, and he's very openly thumbing his nose at us. You know. So we're at war, my friends, a spiritual battle, and we need to fight it. And we need to be here. Domestic Church Media needs to be here to be able to do that. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We appreciate that. Let me go to Holy Father. Well, first of all, as I mentioned, on the 27th of this month, Pope Francis is going to meet with grandparents and grandchildren. It's being organized by the Italian Old Age Foundation. Apparently, Italy has the second highest elderly population. Good living in Italy, you know. People are healthy in Italy. Italians. they you know what? They walk a lot. They're always, I mean, whenever we've been to Italy, there's a lot of people just walking. People walk. They stay in shape. Yeah, they have their pasta, but the pasta is made with semolina flour, and it's better for you. So anyway, they have the second highest elderly population in the world, Italy. And there is an Italian Old Age Foundation. And on April 27th, they're going to gather in Rome at St. Peter's, St. Paul the Sixth Hall. I'm sorry, St. Paul the Sixth Hall. And the Holy Father is going to hear testimony of two grandparents, a 91-year-old woman and three grandchildren. Apparently, there's an actor, Lino Banfi, a well-known Italian actor who maintains a friendship with Holy Father. Holy Father calls him the grandfather of the world. I'm going to look that guy up. His name, I'm not familiar with it, but his name is Lino Banfi. Lino, B-A-N-F-I, Banfi. Holy Father calls him the grandfather of the world. And it's just a day to celebrate grandparents who are going to be there with their grandchildren. And as I, you know, a quote the statement about this event, they're calling it it says, going through the particular harmony, special ties that exist between grandparents and their grandchildren, two generations that cannot live without each other. And you know, those of you who are grandparents, you know that beautiful relationship that exists between a grandparent and a grandchild. And many of you, I'm sure, remember your grandparents and what influence they had in your life growing up. I didn't have the blessing of knowing all of my grandparents. I really only knew my grandfather, my father's father. He died when I was 14, and prior to that, the other three were already gone. So you know the special relationship that exists. And so you need to foster that relationship and nurture that relationship. And Holy Father is bringing them together in Rome on April 27th. So keep that in prayer. And then, of course, in the summertime, near the Feast of St. Anne and St. Joachim, who tradition tells us are the grandparents of our Lord, Holy Father established the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. This year it's on July 28th. So keep that in mind as well and in prayer. So Holy Father, in his Regina Caeli message on Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, talked about Christ the Good Shepherd looking for us until he finds us when we're lost. And so Holy Father taught this. He reflected on the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd, noting that it is a role characterized by sacrificial love. Pope Francis said, Jesus explains that he is not a hired man who cares nothing for the sheep, but a man who knows them. And he said it's true. He knows us. He calls us by our name. When we are lost, he looks for us until he finds us. You know, the image sometimes that we have in our relationship with God, with the Lord, is that when we sin, this is an image that some people, probably a lot of people have, when we sin, that God will turn his back and walk away from us. It's just the opposite. When we sin, we're actually turning our back on God and walking away from Him, but He comes to find us. We are His sheep. He knows us and we know Him. He calls us by our name. He doesn't let us remain lost. He comes to get us. He comes, He seeks us out until He finds us. Holy Father explained that Christ's role as a shepherd introduced a new logic, observing that He is not acting as a guide or the head of the flock, but instead living in symbiosis with His people. This is what the Lord wants to tell us with the image of the Good Shepherd, Pope Francis said. Not only that He is the guide, the head of the flock, but above all, He thinks of each of us as the love of His life. So think about that relationship. And I was in chapel this morning here, praying my Liturgy of the Hours and my rosary. And we have this beautiful crucifix in there. And I was just kind of reflecting as I looked around the chapel. You know, we've been so blessed to have the little chapel of the Holy Family here in our building for 11 years now. We had it built and dedicated in March 27th of 2013. So it's 11 years now that we've had Jesus really, truly, substantially present with us here in the building, in the tabernacle. And I look around the chapel and just, you know, I won't go through the whole story that I've told many times. It's on our website if you want to hear the miraculous story of this chapel that we have here at the building, in our building. But there's a story about all kinds of aspects of the chapel that we have. And we have stained glass above the altar. And in the center of the stained glass is a stained glass image of Christ's face with the crown of thorns. And when we were having the chapel built, the gentleman who was doing the electrical work, he wasn't Catholic. He was married, and his wife did the stained glass. She made stained glass. She herself was not even Christian. I'll tell you how I know that, because when she was designing the stained glass, she showed us this one stained glass image of our Lord crowned with thorns. And she said a few years ago she had been at a trade show selling her stained glass, and a gentleman came up. She said he was rather disheveled, in a kind of a brown robe, beard. And he walked over to her table, and he showed her this stained glass image. We know it to be Jesus crowned with thorns. And he said, I'd like you to have this. You may need it someday. And the woman looked at it and she had no idea who it was on the image. She didn't know it was Jesus. And so she took the stain. She thought it was a beautiful image, and she took it and she put it in her basement. And when she was designing our stained glass for our chapel here, she said, "You might want this. I don't know who this is, but it looks like something you might like to have in your chapel." And I said, "Well, that's Jesus." And then she told us the story how she was at a trade show and this man came up to her out of nowhere and gave it to her. "You may need this someday." That's one little example, right? And then I was looking at just below our stained glass and above our altar, we have a crucifix. And it's a beautiful crucifix that was given to me when we first began domestic church media 20 years ago. I had three men on my board of directors, and one of them had just opened up an online Catholic gift shop. And we were having a meeting, didn't have any radio, we had just begun our work. And he came and said, "Jim, I want you to have this and put it in your chapel when you get your radio station." This was 20 years. The Lord was beautifully getting us prepared. And just as I was sitting in chapel today praying, I was thinking, Jesus always, He's always after us. He, you know, the hound of heaven, you know. And I remember Father Groeschel one time in one of his talks said, "I am chased by a God who loves me. chased, meaning C-H-A-S-E-D. I am chased by a God who loves me. He always comes to us and makes himself present to us. And so Holy Father was teaching that on Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, saying that the Lord will always come after us and find us. And he emphasized the sacrificial component of the role of the shepherd, observing that Jesus is not just a good shepherd who shares the life of the flock, but is the good shepherd who has sacrificed his life for us and given us his spirit through his resurrection. And he asked those who were present Sunday, and as I share this with you, he's speaking to you right now, asking you to meditate upon this sacrificial dimension of the shepherd so that we bear in mind that for Christ, I am important, I am irreplaceable, worth the infinite price of his life. Each one of us, my friends, individually. It's not just a way of speaking, Pope Francis said, but he truly gave his life for me. He died and rose again for me and you, each one individually, because he loves me and he loves you. And he finds in you and in me a beauty that we often don't see ourselves. And the Holy Father cautioned against the temptation to measure our value based on trivial things, such as the goals we achieve or whether we succeed in the eyes of the world on the judgments of others. Pope Francis said, in order to find ourselves, the first thing to do is to place ourselves in his presence, allowing ourselves to be welcomed and lifted up by the loving arms of our good shepherd. And again, my friends, emphasizing that when we're lost, when we sin, when we turn our backs on the Lord, he will always come after us with that great love. He loves you, each one of you, each one of us, as if we were the only person ever created. We are the love of his life. He laid down his life for us. And he would have done it if you were the only person ever to exist who needed his salvation. With that type of love, that type of relationship, we should always have in our heart a desire to meditate on that, to think about that. How much Christ loves each one of us to do what he did for you and for me. And that because of our fallen nature, because of our concupiscence, our tendency to sin, we will sin. We are sinners. We don't want to sin, but we sin. Don't buy into the deception of the devil, who will convince you that once you sin, that's it. God's had enough of you. He's off. He's leaving you. He's turned his back and walking away. It is just the opposite. See, the devil inverts everything. It is we who turn our backs on God and walk away, but he comes right after us to find us. We're never really lost or out of his sight. I remember when my kids were little and we'd go to the beach. Little enough, young, but they were old enough to go into the water, you know, into the ocean. And I would sit on the beach and, you know, in my towel, my blanket or my chair, whatever. And they'd be out. And like a hawk, I remember never, ever taking my eyes off them. And I'd always tell them, look back, you know, look for our umbrella and stay right in line with us here. So, you know, the waves may tend to push you off down the beach a little bit. Always look for the umbrella and stay right so I can see you. It was a constant back and forth of vision, looking to make sure we're in line with each other, we can see each other. Never took my eyes off them, nor did Cheryl. And see, that's how God, he never, ever, we're never out of his sight, obviously. And even in those occasions when we do fall, we do sin, and we start to stray, he'll come after us. He will come right after us. Never let us out of his sight. That's the good shepherd. And that's the type of relationship, my brothers and sisters, that we should also always nurture And keep in mind that's what Jesus does for us. He never, ever, ever leaves us, never out of his sight. Okay, I'll take a break. When I come back, we're going to go to Father Fernandez in our Tuesday In Conversation with God teaching about the first Christians. So you stay where you are, my friends. There's more to come, and I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Did not start the church. The church started the Gospels. The church did not come out of the Gospels. It was the Gospels that came out of the church. The church preceded the New Testament, not the New Testament, the church. Men did not believe in the resurrection because the Gospel said there was a resurrection. The Gospel writers wrote down the story of the crucifixion, for example, and the resurrection because they believed it. Now, in like manner, the church did not come to believe in the virgin birth because the Gospels tell us there is a virgin birth. It was because the living Word of God in his mystical body, the church, already believed it, and they set it down in the Gospels.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields speaking to you from Food for the Journey, a program that is heard on domestic church radio Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m., I want to encourage you to listen to that program, not because I'm doing it, but because I speak of the scripture readings for the day, and the Word of God is what gives us life. Brothers and sisters, today we need life.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave my wife a hug this morning. I told her I love her.
Instead of sitting on the couch, I helped clean up.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I sent my husband a love email.
What have I done for my marriage today? It's a good question.
I gave her a call and say, thinking of it. And the kids.
I did her hair this morning. I think it looks pretty good.
We're going to the museums as a family.
What have I done for my marriage today?
I made my wife coffee and breakfast this morning.
It's going to be her birthday next week, so I've been spending time today making arrangements to make that extra special.
While we're spending the day together.
I bought her an orchid.
Hassan was able to let me sleep in by taking care of him in the morning.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Small changes can make a world of difference. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
We want to invite you to pray the rosary with us. The rosary is many things, but perhaps the best way to think about the rosary is to think about it as a spiritual place, as an invisible chapel that you can enter into even in a busy time of life.
Pray the Holy Rosary with Father Benedict Groeschel, mornings at 9:30, right here on Domestic Church Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Walsh, co-host of Talking Catholic. Every week, our show will bring you in-depth interviews with the hardworking people doing the Lord's work in parishes, schools, and ministries. Our increasingly secularized world often makes it easy to forget that we are surrounded by wonderful workers in the vineyard. On Talking Catholic, we will bring you their perspectives on how we can better serve God and our neighbors. Tune in to Talking Catholic on Sundays at 11 a.m. and Mondays at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Jim.
And we invite you to join us every Friday at 4 p.m. for Friday Live.
2 hours of talk, music, interesting and informative interviews.
We'll also have a reflection on Sunday's Gospel, Jim Hoffman's weekend weather forecast, and you'll have a chance to call in and play one of our fun game shows like Saint of the Day or Name That Catholic Tune.
It all happens right here Friday at 4 p.m.
That's Friday Live, proclaiming the joy of the gospel, communicating hope on these domestic church media stations.
Well, welcome back on this lovely April 23rd. Beautiful day out today, my friends. I hope you're getting a chance to enjoy it. Staying light out later by the day, right? Even if you're 7:30, it's still a little light enough to be outside. Anyway, happy you're here on this beautiful day. And just got a notification from Monsignor Rossetti and CatholicExorcism.org having their next deliverance prayer session. Remember I told you about this? Once a month on Monday, they have this live YouTube deliverance session. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just got to log on to their YouTube page and pray. It's about an hour and pray all these deliverance prayers. The next one is May 20th. May 20th. So if you go to CatholicExorcism.org, you can sign up for it. And then they'll remind you when it's, you know, when it's getting close so you don't forget. But Cheryl and I try to do this every month. These deliverance sessions, they're very powerful, and we need it. You know, there's as I said earlier, the battle is real. And, you know, just look around and see. You know, you can see all the deception, the lying, everything that you know, is of Satan is very, very prominent these days. And wars. You know, by the way, we should include in our prayers these horrible attacks against the Jewish people in Israel. And we see these videos on college campuses now at Columbia University and other universities where there's these violent protests against Jewish people and Israel. I'm surprised there's not more of an outcry from the civilized world. Didn't we see this happen 80 years ago and the horror? I mean, my goodness. So let's pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters. You know, some of these, I saw an interview this morning with a student from Columbia University who's going to, she's a senior, she's finishing out her senior year from home, as are many Jewish students, because they don't feel safe right there in New York City. I mean, my goodness. But that just, again, it's just a manifestation of the evil that is so present in the world today. And we have to pray, and we're at war. And you know, we, as Catholics especially, have the power of our prayers and our sacramentals and to do battle with the enemy, because he hates the church. He hates the Catholic Church. He hates family. He hates marriage. And we're just do battle. So let's go to Father Fernandez in conversation with God. Today's reflection, where he teaches about the first Christians. The rapid spread of Christianity, the early Christians' holiness, was through finding Christ in their environment. He first quotes from St. Jose Maria Escrivá, a homily he gave in 1972 about loyalty to the church. He said, "Our Lord founded the church on the weakness, but also the fidelity of a few men, the apostles, to whom he promised the constant assistance of the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the gospel does not arise in Palestine through the personal initiative of a few fervent individuals. What could the apostles do? They were nothing in their time. From a human point of view, they were neither rich nor learned nor heroes. Jesus places on the shoulders of a handful of disciples an immense divine task. And Father writes, an observer devoid of supernatural vision and seeing the initial apostolate, that small group would have considered it destined to failure from the start. However, that group of men of faith were faithful and began to preach that novel teaching everywhere, clashing head-on with many pagan ways. In a short time, the world knew that Jesus Christ was the Redeemer of the world. And in all of our opportunities, my friends, every one of us, everyone who is baptized, especially baptized Catholics, we have that same Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit who empowered the first apostles, the first disciples, the first church, the early church, the first Christians. Father writes, the good news is preached to all men from the beginning without discrimination. Those exiled in persecution arising from Stephen's death, as we read in today's Mass, traveled as far afield as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. In the latter city, there were so many of them that it was there that the followers of Jesus Christ were first called Christians. A few years later, we find Christ's followers in Rome and throughout the empire. At the beginning, the Christian faith took root mainly among simple people, ordinary soldiers, laborers in the woolen industry, slaves, and merchants too. And the quote from 1 Corinthians, "For consider your call, brethren, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." I think of Mother Angelica, who would often say that God chooses dodos to do his work. She was still making public appearances. And that's when we first met her. She was still making public appearances back in the mid-1990s. And she was giving a talk, and she said the apostles were a bunch of dodos. And she didn't mean that in a negative way, but she meant that you wouldn't think that these men, these simple fishermen, who, you know, that was their, most of them, that was their job, that's what they did for a living, they fished, that they could do and accomplish what they eventually did. But it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, once they received the Spirit at that first Pentecost, it was like night and day. They were no longer hiding and cowering up in the upper room. They went out in the public square and began to preach. Got locked up, beat up, and still preach. They didn't care, to the point where they eventually gave up their own lives for the faith. That same Holy Spirit works in us, you and me. Father writes, God is no respecter of persons, and those who were called at the beginning, being humanly speaking ignorant and weak, were to be the instruments he would use to spread the church. Thus, the effectiveness would be seen to be more clearly divine. Among the early Christians, there were also cultured and educated people who were important by human standards, like the Ethiopian minister, centurions, men like Apollo and Dionysius, women like Lydia, but they were a minority among the vast number of converts to the new faith. St. Thomas Aquinas comments that it is further to God's glory that the leaders of society were brought to him by simple people. And I'm going to say this, and again, I'm not saying it in a braggadocious way. I'm saying it to exemplify exactly what we're talking about. And that is, here I sit in this building, in this beautiful studio, one of four stations that we have, reaching millions of people via radio here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, millions more around the world using the technology that's available to us and that we're utilizing. And 20 years ago, when we first began Domestic Church Media as a vision, I mean Cheryl and me, and three other men and a woman, my first early board of directors, I was sharing my vision. This is what I believe God wants us to do. I had no knowledge of starting businesses or apostolates. You know, I was in middle management for a Fortune 500 company at FedEx, and I was a corporate manager. I was a trainer, a developer of training materials for Federal Express, now FedEx. And there were people who thought, this guy's nuts. You think he's going to, you know, raise millions of dollars to get a radio station going here in New Jersey? And I share this with you, as I do occasionally here on the radio, is to see the power of God. God will use people who are totally unqualified for the work he wants them to do, basically, except for the fact that we become, and you, I'm including you because you are an evangelist, you're a missionary, empowering all of the baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered to bring that light of Christ out to wherever we go. Father Fernandez continues, among the early Christians, the early Christians worked at all the normal occupations of their time, with the exception of any professions that might present a danger to their faith, like interpreters of dreams, diviners, temple keepers, and so on. And despite the fact that pagan religious practices were part of public life, each stayed in the place and profession where he met the faith, trying to give his tone to society, striving to be exemplary in conduct, never rejecting, quite the opposite, in fact, the task of getting closer to his neighbor and fellow citizens. They were involved in the forum, in the marketplace, in the army. Tertullian would say, we Christians don't turn our backs on the world. We are present in the forum, at the baths, in the workshops, the bazaars, the marketplaces, and public squares. We are sailors, soldiers, farmhands, businessmen. Doesn't that tell us something? Doesn't that say something to us today, 20 centuries later, 21 centuries later, in our efforts to evangelize? Tertullian said, we don't turn our backs on the world. We're present in the forum. We're at the baths. We're at the workshops. We're in the bazaars, the marketplaces, the public squares. That's where you and I, my friends, have to be. That's what makes Catholic radio, Catholic media, such an important force in the world, because we can go all over via these media that we use. My goodness, we're able to pierce prison walls. There could be men and women right now behind prison walls listening to these words of hope. There could be individual bedridden in a hospital or a nursing home or their own home, listening to these words of hope where we would not have been able to reach them otherwise. There are people right now in their cars who maybe found this station by accident and don't know how they got us, but they're getting us right now. And they're listening to these words of hope, telling them that Jesus loves you. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will always come to you and find you. There could be people right now who perhaps were on their way to do something terrible, like maybe on the way to an abortion clinic, who heard words of hope through these broadcasts at one point and turned around and made the right decision. There are people who have listened. I'd say another example of how we, like Tertullian said, you know, not turning our backs to the world, but rather going out into the world as Jesus commissioned us. And I've told this story, but it's a beautiful story about a gentleman and his family who, back in the early 2000s, was fed up with the, he was fed up with the church, the Catholic Church, because of the scandals, the priest scandals. And he and his wife decided to leave the church and take their children, and they joined a Baptist congregation, because they had had it with the church, the Catholic Church, and the scandals and the cover-ups within the priesthood at that time. And he wrote to me, and he said, he told me that part of the story. And he said, and I was driving up Route 18 one afternoon, and I heard your program, and I began to listen. and I began to keep your radio station on my radio preset. And every time I got in my car and drove somewhere, I turned it on and listened and listened. Because one day there was a teaching on the Eucharist. And I had to pull off the side of the road because I was crying. I was weeping and tears in my eyes, realizing what I had left and took my family away from. And he said, and this was just before Christmas, it was the following Saturday, my wife and I went to confession. And then a few days later, Christmas Day, we went to Mass for the first time in years because of what we heard on your station. And you see, my friends, that's the Good Shepherd. That's not me. And that's exactly what the first Christians, they went out into the world where people, and as Holy Father Pope Francis said from the very beginning of his pontificate, we need to go out into the peripheries. You know, the people who have left the church, they're not going to come back to the church, most of them, majority of them. We have to go to them. As Tertullian said, we have to go to the forums, to the baths, to the workshops, to the bazaars, to the marketplaces, to the public squares. And we are sailors and soldiers and farmhands and businessmen. Father says our Lord reminds us today, too, he's calling all without discrimination or profession, social standing or race. He quotes from St. Jose Maria Escrivá, what compassion you feel for them. You would like to cry out to them that they are wasting their time. Why are they so blind, and why can't they perceive what you, a miserable creature, have seen? Why don't they go for the best? Pray and mortify yourself. Then you have the duty to wake them up one by one, explaining to them also by one that they, like you, can find a divine way without leaving the place they occupy in society. That was what our first brothers and sisters in the faith did. You know, we can't go put ourselves in a bubble somewhere. You know, we have to go out to where they are. And this is the battle that we see today, where people have totally misinterpreted separation of church and state as intended by our founding fathers here in this country, and use it as a weapon to keep faith locked up behind closed doors. That's not what the founding fathers meant by separation of church and state. That what they were referring to was a state religion. There can be no state religion. That we're free to worship. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about the faith for fear of offending someone. The first Christians didn't do that. They were out in the public squares and the bazaars, as Tertullian said. They were there among the people, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And you and I, my friends, have that same responsibility by virtue of our baptism. And again, that's part of the beauty of the power of Catholic media, is that we can reach these people who would not have been reached any other way. You know, when we first began, in my prayer, I would talk from the heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I can do what I can do here. You've given me skills and talents and gifts that I can use and put to use here at the apostolate. But I'm sitting behind a microphone now in Ewing Township, New Jersey, and my voice and the words that the Lord gives me and speaks through me literally are going around the world. I don't know who's listening to them. I don't know who hears my words or acts on my words or any of the other programs that we bring to you here 24/7. I said to the Lord, that'll have to be your job. I can't control that. But I can certainly do what we do. And let the light of Christ shine through our broadcasts, just like the first Christians did locally in their own ministry, going out to the public square, going among the people, their places of work, and to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody they met. And of course, it wasn't always just words. It was way of life, how they lived, how they loved. As I've said so often, when we Catholics start tearing ourselves down and start tearing ourselves apart, no one is going to want to join this church. I wouldn't. Would you? If you saw members of a church pointing fingers at each other and accusing each other of all kinds of stuff and trying to tear down the head, visible head of the church and those who are in union with him, who wants to join that church? We have to be of one heart and one mind, like the first Christians. People have to see how we love each other. We have to present that image of the true body of Christ that will make people want to be part of this beautiful church that was founded by Christ himself. So wherever the Lord has placed you, some of you are retired, some of you still work, some of you are active in your parishes or your schools, little kids, wherever you are right now, wherever the Lord has placed you, he asks you to be that missionary, to be that evangelist in both word and deed, because sometimes it isn't the words that attract people to want to be part of this church. It's the way we act, the way we live, the way we love. And, you know, during this beautiful Eastertide, if you don't get a chance to get to Mass each day, at least read the readings. As, you know, because we're going through the entire Acts of the Apostles. And that's, I've said it for years, that's our playbook. That's our playbook and how we can grow as a church today in the 21st century. Don't let the numbers discourage us, you know. The lack of mass attendance and the dwindling numbers and of baptisms and marriages in the church. Look, it's happening, okay, we know that. But we who are understanding exactly what we have in our faith have to even more prominently now go out into the world to those people who need to hear the truth, who need to witness how we live. So they want to be part of this church, especially to those who have left, you know. But as the early church did and as Holy Father Pope Francis has taught us, we have to go out to where they are. And that's what we do here at Domestic Church Media through our broadcasts. My friends, got to go. Have a great rest of your day. I will be back with you again tomorrow, God willing. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And God love you.